We would like to welcome each and every one of you who is joining us on Facebook, YouTube, whatever you happen to be watching on, because we know God is good and all the time. And we also know and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And in that is exactly what we're going to do today. Today I'm bringing to you the last installation of a sermon series I began entitled, In Christ Jesus, You Are Anointed Unto Victory. And this portion is part number 4, and it is entitled, Obedience is the Only Way to Victory. And I want us to gain that understanding from the very scriptures and how, if we are not walking in obedience, victory will not be had, because it is something that all of us need to understand, comprehend, that God is God, amen? And He is the only one that we are supposed to be following, not our own desires, not our own needs, but we need to get this right. If we wish to experience victory, because we are all anointed unto victory, and we learned in the very first week that we are to focus on Jesus Christ. We need to focus on that anointing that is given to us. And it is a trilateral anointing through the Word, the blood, and the Holy Spirit of God. We are anointed in the same manner that Christ Jesus is anointed. And He is our anointing through the Word and through the blood and through the Spirit. For God the Father is three in one. We are also taught that we are not to allow temptation, trials, discouragement, doubt, and persecution to make us think we are failures, because they are not. We are not a failure in God if we don't give up. Amen? We got to keep trying and keep trying. I keep telling you, you need to be the most trying people in all the world, trying to get it right at every step. And God will be there to help us get further down the road with each attempt we make. And we praise Him for it. Third, we need to understand that God wants to multiply your victory from a personal thing to a shared, empowered, multiple victory in kingdom community. What did I mean by that? That means that we have a church structure where the leadership is here, and the leadership needs to be united in its vision for truth and direction of truth in the Word of God. Because if it's founded in men, we're going to fail. But if the leaders of the church are united with their vision, their hope, and their purpose as the Word of God, the direction of God, so too then can the congregation come under, and we together will see victory in our community, in our own lives, and in our land. Secondly, we need to understand that God calls us to check on that leadership when we ourselves are at a place where we cannot get through. We can't break through to victory. Call your elders, call those leaders, for the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we are to call upon that leadership that they may guide us and propel us forward when our strength is weak. How many of us get weak every now and then? I don't know about you, but yesterday I was weak. And you know, it just gets tiring. The body is wearing out, okay? My wife got a brand new knee. So, you know, she's good to go for another 10,000 miles, right, till the oil change. But we wear out, and we need others to come alongside, to assist, to lift us up. And that was the third part, was to bear one another's burdens. Not that we are pointing out a brother's or sister's sins, amen? But through what God has led us, we can meet those who are at the same place and walk with them to help them out of the muck and the mire. And that is multiplied victory. Because as we see victory, it is poured out to the many for the cause of Christ. But then finally, I have to come back to this very truth. I have to bring this to the place of understanding. In all these things, the workings of everything that we do comes down to one point, and that's this point that I'm going to make today. Obedience is the only way to victory. Well, Pastor Rich, I do obey. Well, some of us think we do. So today, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, because it may startle you that this is actually in God's Word. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read the entire chapter today, all of chapter 15. Why am I reading this whole chapter? Because it's this important. It's the entire story here, okay? I want you to understand what's going on, the depth of where we're going. From the first verse of chapter 15, it says, then Samuel said to Saul, because Saul had gone out to do war, and you know, the kings all did war, and Samuel, who was the prophet, went to Saul to give him instructions. And he says to him, then Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on all the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the sons of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen, the fatlings and lambs and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul and said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said to Saul, wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak. Saul said, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on this mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil and sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to the destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and subordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." And Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voices. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." As Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind." Then he said, "I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God." So Samuel went back following Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Bring me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." And Agag came to him cheerful. And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." But Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his house at Gilgal of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now we read that story, and many of us think, wow, you know, just such a little thing. You know, he did everything the Lord told him to do, right? No. He brought the king back alive. Why? He brought back the fatted animals, the sheep and the oxen and all these things. And then he has the gall, okay? He's the king. He has the gall to say, "But it was those people. It was the soldiers, and I feared them." He's the king. He has it in his power by the anointing of God. Are you getting what I'm telling you? He has in his power by the anointing of God to do whatever God has set him to do. Nothing will stop it from happening. He stopped it from happening because he stepped out under the obedience of God. He allowed this to happen. And if you notice, all of a sudden Saul's voice changes, because now it's not "my God," it's "your God." He's talking to Samuel, and he's not saying "our God," "my God." It's "your God." He understands he has separated himself from the God of creation. Many times we don't even see that we've separated ourselves. Even when pastor comes at you and says, "Hey, what you're doing is wrong," you would rather look at me and tell me I'm wrong, okay? And I'm going to tell you what's on my shirt. I would rather obey God and be despised by the world than obey the world and be despised by God. You and I, man, do you love these shirts? Ain't they cool? Do you and I understand what's happening here? He thought he had won the victory. He had captured the king. Everything was as it was supposed to be. Woo-hoo-hoo, let's go have a party. And God says, no, you didn't obey me. Yeah, but what does obey mean? What does obey mean? Sometimes you and I aren't going to like everything that God puts to us. Sometimes you and I aren't going to understand everything God asks us to do. It's going to seem stupid or confusing or contradictory. But my question is this. Can you see the future? Can you control all things? Can you predict what's going to happen tomorrow? How about 10 seconds from now? How many of us want to live that good life into our 70s? I mean, Miss Faye, she's out there probably watching us right now. Miss Faye just celebrated her 85th birthday. Okay? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? Everybody say, happy birthday, Miss Faye.
Happy birthday, Miss Faye.
None of us knows how long our future is going to be. But the one thing we can know is we can have eternity, but we need to stand in obedience to the Lord in every way that we can. Brothers and sisters, this man lost the kingship. He lost everything because he did not obey God. You and I are holy priests. Do you understand that? We are called a holy priesthood. We are also heirs to everything, which means we are princes or princesses if you're a lady, okay? Everything is ours. We can lose it all through disobedience. This is exactly what Saul is talking about here, or what Samuel was talking about here to our brother Saul. And you and I need to stop making excuses. There's another translation, the NIV, it reads at one point where Saul is making his excuses and Saul just speaks up and says, stop! Because all excuses are is a way, they're words for you to use to get your fat out of the fire. Well, guess what? It ain't coming out of the fire with words. Because our actions speak louder than words. And in God's eyes, what we do, what we obey, speaks louder than anything else. And I think it's funny because what did Saul say here? He says, oh, but we're going to sacrifice them to God. Wait a minute. Is that a pleasing sacrifice? Didn't God say to destroy it? Do you think he wanted it to be used as a sacrifice? He said, destroy it. It's trash to me. Get rid of it. Everything has to go because the sin is that great. So God wanted them to use it as an offering? There's only one offering worthy of God. There's only one offering worthy of God. Do you hear me saying this, people? There's only one offering worthy of God, and that was the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. There is no other offering. You can't give him anything he doesn't already have. Woo! Our world puts a price tag on things. What did Saul do? He set up a statue in his own honor. Why do you think he kept the king alive? Because he wanted to gloat about it. Why do we do the things of disobedience? Because we want to gloat about it. We want all the stuff and everything that comes with it when God says, no, get rid of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's a tough thing to do because it's going to mean self-sacrifice. It's going to mean checking yourself at the door. It's going to mean looking and saying, yeah, but I wanted to really do this. Yeah, but there's a way that we have to do things that it makes it right. That, you know, if we count one person out, all right, I'm going to speak of the church. When we think of how the church operates, We have leadership within the church. If pastor, here I am, I'm the pastor, I'm the number one guy, right? No, I ain't. I'm number two. Jesus Christ is number one. And there are several of us who are number two when we come into our elders' meeting, right, folks? All right? You all need to understand, yes, I am the spiritual leader of the church, and I'm going to be that. But when we come together as the elders, brothers and sisters, we all have equal vote, don't we? Because as elders, we rule. That's the way God set the church up. I'm going to give direction, but we're going to come to an agreement. And we all need to understand that's exactly where God wants us to be. But I can't simply overrule a leader who's under me. I can't say, oh yeah, we're going to do this thing without going through the proper channels that I expect you all to go through. I have got to look at my leadership and say, you've been put in position for a reason and you need to do that job. And if I negate that, what have I just done to that person? I've negated that person, haven't I? I've told them, you really don't have any value. It's what I say and what I do that matters. Man, if we start doing that, we're just going to cut the church apart, aren't we? And we're going to hurt the church and we're going to hurt one another. And I can't do that. You can't do that. Because in doing that, we set ourselves up as something. And that's exactly what Saul was doing here. He was setting himself up as something when he was supposed to be doing everything in obedience and glory to God. But instead, he turned it around and made it all about himself and then lied to the prophet as to what they did it for. Do you see how we start trying to cover ourselves? We can't cover ourselves. We are naked before God. Isn't that what God says in the New Testament? He said, your nakedness is before me. Oh my goodness. Because God sees to the heart of the matter. Are we walking in obedience? Are we coming into this? Or is the kingdom, remember, the kingdom was ripped out from Saul. What does that mean to you and I? Do you understand the spiritual implication of that? Do you understand the spiritual implication of that? If we do not walk in obedience to the word of God, the kingdom will be tore out from under us. Folks, that's eternity. Oh, but I can't lose my eternal salvation. Nope, but you can surely give it away. Please understand that. You can choose God or choose not God. Remember, we're the only creatures on the earth that can choose. You can choose in and you can choose out. Which are you going to choose? And as Pastor David says, can you accept, can you live with the consequences of your choices? Because I'll guarantee you, in Christ Jesus, you will live. But outside of Christ Jesus, the consequence is what? Death. And it's like, well, but Pastor, oh my goodness, this is a heavy word. Yeah, it is a heavy word. But the gain, the victory, is the greatest thing that any of us can ever receive. And God does not want us to be people of compromise. Look at our world. How much compromise do we see going on in our world? And people are going to hell. People are wondering why they don't have success in their lives. But yeah, but I was just a little, you know, a little bit of leaven works through the whole loaf. You have no idea. I just taught this at discipleship this morning. I'm not kidding you. I put these sermons together, and God does something even greater in my midst because he is a greater God. We all need to understand just that little bit of disobedience, doesn't matter what it is going to create further problems down the line. And we as the people of Christ cannot allow that because as we do, these other things begin to take form and function and they draw us away from that which is our goal, which is heaven, amen, through Christ Jesus, by his sacrifice. And I'm going to get some real serious stuff here in our next scripture. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, John 14. The book of John. Many people tell me, you know, Pastor, you know, the things in the Old Testament, aren't they for all those people who were before? Yeah, they are. But they're also for us because we come after. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? And we need to understand God is talking to us in that Old Testament, because it is from the Old Testament that we find the New Testament, which is the grace of God poured out upon us through Jesus Christ, by which we receive the anointing that we walk in. And from verse 15 in the 14th chapter, we read these words. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Can you all repeat that with me? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. That's our anointing, brothers and sisters. If you love me, you will obey me. That's coming under the word by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then receiving the third portion of the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, not only coming among us, but dwelling in us. Can I get an amen? And he says to us, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you in me, and I in you. He who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and will make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing to do with me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let us go from here." Jesus Christ himself obeyed the word. He is the word. And he obeyed everything the Father commanded him. If he had not, our salvation would not be sure. Our salvation would not be secure. Because that's disobedience. We need to understand that half obedience is still disobedience. Three quarters obedience is still disobedience. And I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you in this room are human? It's going to take a couple of times through the trial to get there. That's okay. Don't stop. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Do not allow trials and temptations, disparagement, doubt, or persecution to keep you from continuing on. Because unless you stop, you are not a failure, and we need to understand God wants to get you through this thing to multiply that victory unto the world, unto the lives of all of those who are around. Therefore, obedience must be full, it must be complete, and it must be worked out through progressive sanctification in our lives. Can I get an amen? Because we are under the greatest power of life, the power of the Word, the power of the blood, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, which cannot be defeated. For a strand of two is easily broken, but a cord of three is not. And that three is the Word, the blood, and the Spirit of God poured out upon mankind, that as we walk in obedience to Him, ours is the victory. And it is understanding that when you and I come under that blood, we are also coming under that Word, and we are coming under the Spirit, and you cannot be defeated. You are going to be tried. You are going to be tempted. You are going to get discouraged. You may even doubt. But do you not stop. Do not stop. I don't care how hard things get. And if it gets that hard, you call the elders. You call the elders. Humble yourself. I humble myself. I call upon the elders to come and pray for me. Why? Because I'm a human being too. You and I need to understand, none of us is beyond the Word of God. We are in the Word of God, and the Word of God is in us through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the victory. But the only way he saw victory was to obey the Father completely. And so too must we. Now, as I said, Jesus was perfect. How many of you are perfect? Not one. So we're going to probably get kicked down the road. You know, how many of you ever played kick the can when we were younger? You know, we just keep kicking that can down the road. Every time somebody kicked it, the game started over again, right? We're going to kick this can down the road until we get it right. But how many of you ever played kick the can by yourself? None of us. We always had a group. It's called the ecclesia. Therefore, forsake not the gathering, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us come together, that through strength we can multiply the victory as we walk in obedience. And where one of you is lacking, let us bear up one another in that righteousness and holiness. Because it is not our victory, but it is the Lord's victory, that we will all glory in Him who is our shield, our shelter, our fortress. We are coming unto the time of Easter. It's just a few weeks away. And I challenge you for the rest of Lent to think of where you are, where you've yet to go, and how many struggles we have yet to overcome. Are you prepared to wrestle with God? Are you prepared to be that man out in the wilderness waiting for the breaking of the dawn of day? Are you that man or woman who is willing to allow God to touch the socket of your hip and put you out, that you would remember who He is and how important it is for us to wrestle with Him on all things. But that wrestling is not unto defeat, because we know that the morning came, and so too is the victory. In Christ Jesus, can I get an amen? Pray with me. Father God, you have given us so much. And Lord, I just pray that each of us here sees who we are and how you have given us a hope so much greater than ourselves. That, Lord God, no matter what comes at us, when we come together, nothing can defeat us. For we have the victory through your Word, your blood, and your Spirit. That is the guarantee of eternal life. May we walk as people of obedience. May we walk through the trials and the temptations, and may we be refined as much fine gold. And may the victory be multiplied into the world to give you glory as we walk in obedience to you and in your word. In Christ Jesus, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.